Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome back to another episode of Tough Sicilian Bitches.
Bitches. I'm Carrie.
I'm Mara. And you're listening
to Sexy
Unique Podcast.
Happy Thanksgiving week to you and everyone else.
If you're listening to this now, it is actually Thanksgiving. So happy. Truly, I hope you're having a really happy Thanksgiving. Or if you're having a bad Thanksgiving,
listen to the podcast and escape.
Yeah, I hope this is making it much better for you.
And head to the Patreon to get an amazing Thanksgiving bonus episode.
I'm currently undergoing a haunting, which gets explored deeply in this week's bonus episode. So
get with it.
Be like Dale and check that out.
I'm checking this out. I'm so grateful that I got to be part of this podcast and that this year I've gotten to interact with so many hilarious lollers across the country.
Yeah.
And I feel truly blessed that I got to talk about my favorite things in the world with you and with everyone, you know, gets to chime in with their own amazing takes on it. I just love it.
I'm also feeling blessed that you're a part of this podcast. I've had so much fun and I'm excited for everything that's to come because I think we have so much exciting stuff on the horizon.
We do.
And it wouldn't be possible without you. So I'm thankful for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God.
No, but I'm also really grateful for the cool things that we have coming up in 2020.
Yeah, 2020 is going to be a great year.
2020 is going to be a bad year for a lot of things, but it's going to be a great year because we're, for our little podcast world, because we're doing some cool things.
Yeah, so get excited about that and get depressed about everything else.
That's how it always should be.
Yeah, don't get depressed about Sexy Unique Podcast because this podcast isn't going anywhere, but up,
and
up,
we're just
up,
here to help.
All the way to the top. Yeah.
It helps us. Hopefully it gives you some levity in this terrifying reality that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also grateful that Vanderpump Rules is returning soon.
That is another 2020 miracle that's going to happen.
So everyone just buckle the fuck up because it's about to be a bumpy ride.
Yeah, it's going to be the bumpiest ride of your fucking life. And you're going to think that you're about to crash. But then you're going to even out and soar higher than you could ever imagine.
You're going to soar so fucking high.
You're going to spread your wings and fucking fly.
You're going to fucking fly. Speaking of spreading her wings and flying, so big news for our society, high society heads.
Huge, huge
including
news.
Myself. So yeah. our queen, Tinsley, is engaged for the second time in her life.
Is engaged to Scott from Chicago.
Scott Cluth.
I don't know a thing about him.
He was, Tinsley was set up by him, set up with him by Carol Radziwill and her former like 25-year-old boyfriend.
Love.
Who Scott was friends with. Scott is like a startup tech bro, like online shopping guy who I think has millions from some online like jean company he started. Like he's like a clothing guy, but he does it all with like an app. I think that's what it is. If anyone's listening, correct me, I'm probably wrong, but he's made some dough.
Yeah, clear so he's, it up because I don't understand, but I love that. I think he made Tinsley.
Let me just look really quick.
Scott Cluth.
Tinsley's living her Cluth.
She is. And I actually felt really happy for her because I know how badly she wanted this.
Yeah.
And this is a dream come true.
Oh, okay. Coupon Cabin. It's a coupon place. Sorry, it's not a jean store. I think it's for retail. But it provides online coupon codes for American retailers, including Target, Sears, 1-800-Flowers, which I use, and Home Depot. It's centered in Chicago, and it was formed by Scott Cluth in 2003, who was a former employee of Sears.
Wow. That's amazing. Good for you, Scott.
Scott Cluth.
Good for you, Scott Cluth. Look at you. You know Dale hates coupons.
He has a net worth of 20 or 35 mil.
Oh, that's
no,
cheap.
20 mil. But I think she has...
She doesn't
more.
Need... Yeah.
Yeah, she's not looking for the money.
But, you know, you need at least someone to match you when you're a high society maven.
Right. So they got engaged, and they have had sort of a weird, kind of a weird relationship. There's been a lot of back and forth, lots of calling it quits, getting back together. The women on Roni never knew where they stood and they were always confused by it. I think Scott was kind of stringing Tinsley along a lot, which I didn't like.
Yeah. And then they broke up last season, right?
They did, but it was so weird because all the other women were like, where are you getting that money, Tinsley? And Tinsley was too classy to be like, I have a fucking trust fund. I'm an heiress.
Yeah. Like, her net worth is $35 million. Like, she's fine.
And everyone was like, where do you get those shoes? And I was like, guys, if you're actually in this world, like, and I'm not saying this is because I'm not part of this world, but like, it doesn't take much common sense to know that she has family money.
Yeah. Hello.
And like, and she said that in a very classy way. And yeah. Andy, I think Andy Cohen was kind of like, guys, come on. Like, she's got a trust.
Like snapping his fingers and he's like, get with it, you ladies.
But so they were very like, oh, what's the deal with you and Scott? You say you're one thing, but you're another. But I like Scott at first. And then I was like, he's kind of a dick.
Did he show up on the show this last season? He didn't, right?
No, he refused to come on.
But then was he on before that?
Yeah, he was on a few times. Oh, wait, did he come in? There was a moment maybe in the beginning of the season where he came to the door and Tinsley, like, collapsed. Do you remember that part?
I don't remember that part.
He, like, surprised her in New York because he flew in from Chicago and she, like, fell to her... She, like, fell to the floor crying because she was so happy to see him. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so unhealthy.
I love a fall to the floor.
Right.
That's very fashion ambitionist of her.
It was. It was very like that girl who'd staged that week-long engagement.
Yeah, that's
thing.
Her. Marissa, the fashion ambitionist.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it was. It's my favorite move.
When she was like...
Her friend surprised her with like a spin class. And when she realized, she fell to the floor, ugly crying.
Oh my God.
She fell to the floor multiple times over the course of that week, but like it became a signature move. And then I was like,
I liked when she finally got to the destination to get the actual ring. And when she got, and she just kept stomping, jumping up and down going, no, like she was just, and I was like, my God, she doesn't want to, she's saying no. Like, she does not want to be here.
She doesn't want any of this, yet here she is.
She doesn't want this.
This is not what she truly wants.
No, she's saying no for a reason. But yeah, so Tinsley, like, I think I was when I saw the news, I was kind of like, I was a little bummed for her because I feel like she can do better.
I was just happy for her in the sense that it's like I knew how badly she wanted it. So I was like, at least she's getting what she wants and then she'll be happy for a little bit before they get married and divorced. Well, she'll be miserable again.
Yeah. You know, I mean, maybe they'll have a kid together. Like, you don't, because I know she wants to have kids.
I want Tinsley to have a spinoff. I would love for her to be like groomed into a true like Bethany.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw a Vice article the other day that made me kind of depressed that said Stassi's the one being groomed by Bravo to be the next Bethany.
Ew.
And I was just like, okay.
No one can be the next Bethany, but maybe it's Tinsley.
The only next Bethany I'll accept is Tinsley.
Ew, Stassi.
Yeah, cause she has her own like digital series that's on YouTube, but I think Bravo produces it, and like she's like forging her basic empire. And so
I'm not into it. I've never really been into Stassi.
I get it. And like,
I get it too, but if you're legitimate, like, you know,
if you're like a true Lawler through and through, I don't think you like gel with Stassi's content in anything but like an ironic appreciation way.
Well, I liked her in the beginning because she was so over the top mean, and I almost had more respect for her.
Yeah, because it's like she's actually not like she says that she's basic, but she's actually not basic. Like, if you watch her, you're just like, wow, you're like evil and like a mean girl with like weird tendencies.
Yeah.
And like actually like a very nuanced perspective. But I guess if you have to like water your personality down and put a basic stamp on yourself in order to appeal to a mass audience,
go off
and like, I guess get the money, but I also don't respect it.
Yeah, I'm just like not, I don't know. I'm not on board with the Stassi, with the Schroeder train, but I am on board with her mom's Instagram.
Dana still killing it on Instagram?
I think someone sent me something recently. But going back to Tinsley, she just wants to be a wife. Like she's said it on the show. And like there was an episode where Ramona kept being like, come on, Tinsley, tell me what you want to do. What do you want to do in life? What do you want to do next? What kind of business do you want? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you want to own a business? Do you want to sell a business? And then she was like, Ramona, I just want to be a wife.
Yeah, she just wants to be a wife. That was the role she was born to play in life. And then does she even really want kids? I think she just wants to be a wife.
I could see her having like a little girl.
Yeah, and she does love dogs, so I would love for her to get more dogs.
But she doesn't need, like, I don't necessarily think she wants to have kids. I think Dale wants her to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that was funny, not funny, but Page Six broke the story, and they included that Tinsley's ex-husband and his new wife, Tabitha Simmons, just welcomed their first baby. And it felt like such a little troll on Tinsley because it's Page Six.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted about it and I was like, Dale will be contacting Page Six immediately. But then I had a bunch of people being like, no. Dale probably made sure they included this. And I was like, that's so true.
Classic Dale.
Dale definitely was like, called them in and was like, make sure you put this in about Topper and Tabitha, because she loves Topper.
Yeah, she's obsessed with Topper.
And she was wearing Tabitha's shoes.
She was probably at their birth.
Yeah, she went to go visit them in the hospital, and they were like, hi, Dale.
And brought the baby a gift, and then took a photo with the baby. And then at Tinsley's wedding, like, shower, at her bridal shower, Dale's gonna hold up a photo of herself with the baby, with Topper's name.
She's like, I consider myself somewhat of the grandparent to this baby. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd come by and give my grandbaby
a kiss.
Just a little gift. A little mm-hmm. kiss on the cheek and a little gift. And they're like, okay.
They're like, ma'am.
Ma'am.
Can you leave?
Oh my God. But yeah, so to all the readers who were accurately correcting me, thank you. Because
you needed to be set straight.
I needed to be set straight that Dale was behind it all. What a history.
What a history. What?
Wow.
I'm checking this out.
What a history. I'm checking this out.
Yeah, I want like Tinsley getting married or like her road to a wedding spinoff. I need it.
Do you think it'll end in divorce?
Yes.
Tinsley might just, I honestly feel like Tinsley might just need to be single forever.
I think that her, one of her biggest life challenges and like a journey in life that she simply must go through is like learning to just love herself and be with herself.
To sit like, with herself. I don't think
to sit with herself and like accept her as just her and that she is enough just as Tinsley.
I want that for her too, because I really love her.
Yeah, I love her like, too.
I think she's like quietly one of the coolest housewives we have.
She has everything that she needs in life. Like, it, you know what I mean? It's like she wants for nothing, yet she wants for so much.
She wants for everything.
She wants for everything that money can't buy, but she has all of that within herself.
She's also like, I think, one of the kindest housewives. Mm-hmm. Like she's never really, she really has never been like mean and somehow stays like relevant and in the mix.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciate. Like she's not like getting down into the, she's never been like Ramona who like just gets or Dorinda even who just like lobs napalms at people. Mm-hmm. But she somehow stays relevant and stays in the mix without ever really, and that's true class.
Yeah, and she's funny.
She is. She's funny. She's funny. She is funny. I think my favorite moment last season was when Sonia said, cum laude.
My favorite was when Tinsley
cum laude.
When Tinsley goes, yeah, Luann, I'm drinking, Luann. Yeah, here I am, having a drink, Luann. I was like, Tinsley, you have won.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I loved when Luann said something so dismissive to Tinsley and it like triggered Bethany. Because Bethany, I think, grew to think of Tinsley as like a little sister.
Oh, yeah, because Luann made fun of her. She was like, because Tinsley slurred.
Oh, yeah, she went, and then Bethany just put something from her childhood just came in and she was like, no, don't you say that.
Tinsley, I just looked up her numerology and she's a 14-5, which means she has like a karmic debt number attached to her life path number. And the karmic debt is her like 14. So, and it says some of the traits that might be found in like a 14. So in the, for the 14-5 life path, it's all about like freedom. And I guess in a past life, she has an abuse of freedom, being irresponsible, shunning sense of responsibility, which then can manifest in this lifetime as inability to hold on to a relationship, jumping from job to job, lacking ability to focus, lacking ability to commit, severe or unhealthy sense of dependence or an unhealthy sense of independence. So it thinks like we see her grappling with all of this, which is probably why she makes great TV. Because she has all this kind of stuff going on.
We should get her on the pod.
I would love to have Tinsley on the pod.
You know that? No, I do. When I worked at Paper Magazine, the story broke of Tinsley's arrest. And I wrote like a really, I mean, it was a humorous like write-up of the circumstances. And I think I was trying to like channel the old Gawker golden era of like reporting on socialites, and I was, you know, obviously not anywhere near that, but
your articles were really funny. They're all still up there, right?
I think so. I think Paper Mag took some down. Yeah, I don't see them.
Rude.
I think they're probably still up, but like my database for all of them is gone.
Huh. We need to get Detective Dale on the case.
Anyway, so I wrote this thing, and Tinsley emailed one of the editors and said, I thought I had a friend in Paper Magazine. So,
oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that now.
You do.
So you have a karmic debt to Tinsley. And I've met Tinsley before. I think I have a photo with her. And I gave her a copy of White Girl Problems. Yeah, I met her at the Sundance Film Festival in 2012, when White Girl Problems came out, I had a book party that no one came to except for my agents. But then after my book party, then after the book party was Lil Jon's birthday party, and the venue was kind enough to let me and my friends stay at, and like just infiltrate Lil Jon's birthday. So I just went around to every person that I could find that was like a celeb and gave them a copy of White Girl Problems. And that's when I gave Tinsley a copy. And I said, I think you'll love this. She was like, thank you. She was really nice. And then she also was an author. She might have had a book out around that same time, or a book came out later, but maybe before, because I was like, I think that you'll like relate to this as like an author that's writing like a fictional.
Yep. Minty Davenport. Style.
So
Southern Charm. That was her book. I love that you had a Sundance party that only your agents came to.
Literally only them, not a single person aside from just like my friend that I was traveling with and her friend that lived near the festival, that was like a Utah native. And so we just sat there eating pizza. Yeah, some guy that was doing YouTube interviews came and like interviewed me, and then we just sat there and ate pizza and then waited for like all the celebs to.
Was it just you or was it the other two?
It was just me. I flew out and like hosted the party. It was a raging failure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not laughing. It's just the way you're talking.
No, it's funny.
It was a flop.
It makes me laugh.
It was a Sundance flop.
It was
flop.
A big flop. A huge flop. A Sundance fail. I think also the party was happening from like 6 to 8 p.m. Like it wasn't like a prime party time. And also, I think Hyde Lounge, they opened up like a, because all these clubs in LA would open up like outposts on the Sundance, like the main drag. So they were like, somebody had arranged a deal. I think our agents, they had the same agency as us. So they arranged for a free venue. So it was like, there was no overhead cost. And it was just like, let's throw a party. But then
we were agents like, yeah.
Yeah. They were like, love it here. Love this. I got really drunk with my agent's assistant, who was like the one that found White Girl Problems and like brought it to the agency. And so he and
I
partied and had a really fun time.
All you need is one person and it's a party.
Yeah, I know. And now he's like a big time, big shot book agent.
Shout out to him. Shout out to Lil Jon. Shout out to Tinsley Mortimer. And shout out to Scott Kluth. Shout out to Tabitha Simmons and Dale Mercer.
Shout out to Coupons.
And shout out to Sears.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sears. I don't know about Coupons, Tinsley.
Wait, I just looked up, because I Googled Tinsley, and then your Google, like, if you use Google as a web browser to, like, pull up contacts, and I have her
email address.
Because I think I sent her, like, an email, Oh, my God. Wow. Okay. I got to email her. She used to have an AOL email address.
I wonder if
that's still the one. If so, that's wild.
Oh, I'm so reading my post that I wrote about her. It's still up.
The paper magazine. So oh, my God. We have to link it.
Oh, my God. So I did. This was funny, though. It was pretty funny. It wasn't that mean. I think she just took it. I mean, I was just reporting the facts. I didn't know then that she was allegedly in this like abusive relationship, but she spent a solid 2.5 hours in jail. Tinsley, who according to Wikipedia and her is a descendant of Thomas Jefferson. And then I included this quote that her dad said when he, in the wake of her divorce from Topper Mortimer, her dad said this to the papers: "We have a lot more money than the Mortimers. They only got that Standard Oil by marriage." Wow.
A read. I like rich people just like having to assert wealth and like how the wealth came to be and like how their wealth is better than another extremely wealthy family's wealth.
Mm. Wow. What a history.
Wow. What a history. Speaking of a history,
historical.
This episode of Housewives
well,
of New
okay,
Jersey
so
was
at
historic.
First I thought it was going to be the iconic Brownstone episode, but then I realized it was still iconic.
Yeah. I too kept thinking like this is the moment when Danielle's like rat tail gets pulled out or whatever. But then that's on the horizon. So stay
tuned.
Keep
on keeping. But this is a really important episode in Housewives lexicon.
This is important for just like setting up, really informing the world and revealing, like introducing new characters and revealing everything you need to know about Danielle and truly cementing her as batshit out of her mind.
This is probably the most delusional Danielle will ever be in this season, is in this episode. Even with what's to come, this is,
it's unhinged.
I think, like, climax of her insanity. But we first start with Teresa's finally leaving the hospital, the Hackensack Medical Building, with Adriana and Joe. And I love that he's like a bellhop, like with a hotel cart full of balloons,
dripping in gifts. And Adriana is dressed.
She looks
in
like
tulle
Florence Pugh at the end of Midsommar with the flowers.
Is Midsommar
Florence Pugh? Is that did I just say it? Isn't it Pugh?
Florence, I think it's Pew. She looks like Florence Pugh at the end of Midsommar.
She really does, though. She's the May Queen.
Wait, maybe Ari Aster watched Real Housewives of New Jersey before he wrote Midsommar.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. And
now
Teresa's like,
Ari, fess up.
Teresa's like begging Joe not to get his vasectomy.
To get his tubes tied.
No.
And he's like, you got the wrong guy.
And she's like, no. Well,
the answer's no.
She basically is like, if I get it, it's like a whole procedure and I've had to give birth to four humans. So the least you can do is just get it snipped. He's like, nope, not me.
He goes, I'm not going to get it snipped. And he goes, you pop that kid out like it was a ping pong.
And he goes, what?
I'm like,
what's wrong? What's
one
more? He's like, he really wants a son. He's like, I think we should just try again. He's like, what's one more? And Teresa's like, no, we're done. We're finished. And he's like, aw.
He's like, you should be grateful.
He's sad. He really wants to just keep having kids until
a boy
comes
out. He's like, you should be grateful. We're still so active.
What are you going to do when I'm not active anymore? And this is when this episode has a wormhole in time and space and forecasts a future happening. Teresa goes, I'm going to find someone younger then. And she does.
Also, I was thinking, one, Teresa loves to fuck so much. She loves talking about fucking. And a part of me had a thought, like, do you think this is the first, Joe is the first guy she's ever had sex with?
That's totally
like
possible.
When they were really young.
When did they get together?
I think they were childhoods, like they had crushes on each other growing up. Not that that's, yeah.
That's so
I don't know.
Carmella.
The way she talks about sex is like a little kid. Like she's like, we're going to do it again. Mm-hmm. We fuck all the time. It's like she has, I don't know. I had a thought like, right?
Whoa. I think you're right. Mm. I think you're onto something.
If that's the case, then love and light to her getting that young dick. Get it all.
Yeah, go for it. Step into your womanhood and get every dick you can.
Do a dick flight. A flight of dicks.
I'll take the dick flight, please.
So we get to their giant house, and Melania, all the girls are like gathering, they're all running out to hug her, and then Melania is asleep on a beanbag.
Melania's asleep and like truly just like passed out, like dead asleep. And Teresa like comes up to her and like kind of wakes her up. And you can tell Melania is not.
She's like, Ma, don't wake me up from my beanbag.
Hey, what the fuck? I was sleeping here.
Hey, what the fuck? I was sleeping here, Ma. Oh,
I'm tired, Mom. Come
on. You
see
one, you've seen them all.
Babies, they look the same.
Babies,
come
they
on.
Look the same. Goo goo god god, they're in their little crib. I don't need to see it. What's all this about, Ma? Let me sleep on my beanbag.
Goo goo god god.
Come on.
Papa goo, come on. Gabriella is like too excited for the baby. Her dark machinations are showing. She goes, she comes out, she's like been weeping. She's like doing her pre-baby like ritual, witchcraft rituals.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I want to see her. And then she's like, she's beautiful.
Gia goes, come see the child. And then Gabrielle goes over and gets her little claws on it. And then eventually Melania comes over and she's like, all right, let me see it. Move out of the way.
Out of the way. She shoves her way through, throwing elbows. And she's like, just like I thought, born fucking baby.
Just like I thought. You seen one?
Just like I thought. Looks like a human raisin.
This could be any other baby on the street. I don't care. Just stay out of my way. Just stay out of my way.
I can't pick her out of a lineup. Just stay out of my way,
kid. I'll fucking kill you. Stay out of my way. Keep your head up or I'll punch you in the fucking mouth. Keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut.
And you too, you shut up too, she says to Teresa. Don't talk about the baby around me. Now get me my food.
She looks at Joe. She's like, she looks at both of them. She's like, why I'd knock you one silly for this.
You two are going to pay for this. I tell you. I'd have beat your ass.
I'd have beat your ass for this. Bringing this thing
in the house. You keep it to yourselves, and you know what I mean.
I don't want to see nothing.
Leave some room for the Holy Ghost.
I don't want to hear nothing. Yeah.
That's enough out of you.
That's enough out of you.
Now get out of my sight. You disgust me. And sucks on her thumb and falls asleep.
Gia's like, Mamma Mia, it's a poetic baby girl. Gia's like doting. Oh, mama. Oh, the beautiful.
Gia's like, oh, she's a beautiful baby, mama. You bring her home to the house. I clear out all.
Mama, we're going to put her in the crib. Come on.
I have to go down and we have to break some dry pasta over her and sprinkle it all over her face for good luck. Go down, Gabriella. Go drive some.
We give her a piece to chew on.
Some dry spaghetti and bring it up here. Come on. Oh, mama, I cleaned the red sauce from the floor. Clear. The whole house is clear. The good spirits, only good spirits in the light of God shining down on her, mama.
Oh, mama mia, we got to put her in the cradle.
Oh,
she's a blue-eyed baby girl.
She goes, oh, look at her blue eyes. She's a blue-eyed baby girl. Yeah. Oh, her big eyes.
Gia loves nothing more than a baby in the house. Finally, a baby in the house again. A mamma mia.
I'm at my best when there's a baby in the house. So much excitement. So much good energy.
It makes the house cozy and warm again. A mamma mia. Oh. She lives for a baby in the house. I like that each of them have different takes on a baby.
Gia's at her best when there's a newborn present. Oh, mama.
She loves
it. It's so good to see you home. Come, mama. Come here. Oh, let me kiss your cheeks. Oh, look at you. You're fresh from God, mama. You're fresh from God.
She goes, put your feet up. I want to rub your feet. Come on, mamma mia. Oh, and then she gets like her and she goes, oh, Joe, you bigger boy. You never get snipped. You never get snipped, okay? You keep on pushing on the babies. She ties her little kerchief around her head and gets to work scrubbing the floors, making sure the
boiling in the pots downstairs. You can smell it. Whole house smells like tomato. It fills the whole house. All I want is the smell of tomatoes and the leftover babies. That's all I want, mama. Oh, it's so good to have you all home. You smell that?
I got pasta brewing.
We have a pot of pasta brewing next to the baby's crib at all times. Keeps the air nice and moist for the baby's skin. Pasta.
It's good for the baby's skin. Give her a tomato.
She sleep with the tomato and eggplant under her pillow, mama.
We put it in the crib. It's a good luck. Should I pour a bottle of an old Barolo for you?
Let's celebrate.
She sings like... She would sing like an old Italian song, like late at night, like she gathers everyone around the table to sing a song from the old country. The taste of the old country for my beautiful family, oh, mamma mia.
Oh, we gonna make a manicotti tonight, mama.
Oh, who is this little manicotti? Get her in the cradle.
Mama
Come
mia.
On, mamma mia. Oh, God, I love Gia when there's a baby in the house.
Oh, I bring a Tupperware full of ziti, mama. I have
12 Tupperwares full of ziti and lasagna for baby. I leave them at her crib, and she'll get it when she gets to it. But now you rest, Mama. You put your feet up and you rest.
She gives Joe a cigar to light.
Tomato.
A glass of wine. Tosses him a tomato and winks. Do you know what to do with that, big boy? Why did I just turn like Jamaican in that moment? It was not.
I just love the idea of a bowl of a pot of pasta not boiling clear. At all times next to the baby. Oh my god!
All times, always like some onions cooking.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
So then we move to Danielle is meeting Kim G at Endless Vine, a wine bar.
Love that. And I love Kim G. They have quotations around the G.
Also, Danielle's wearing like Mad Max fur shoulder pads.
Yeah. She's gone full Charlotte.
She's ready for war.
She is. She's like a German. Ready to go into battle.
She's like an ancient Germanic general.
Yeah, she's Viking energy. She's like ready to like rape and pillage an entire
She's called Kim G to basically ensure that she'll be like loyal to her when she goes to the brownstone.
Yeah, and I guess Kim Ji is like really, really rich, which I didn't pick up on the first time I ever watched the show, but then it's clear that like she called up the richest person she knows as
Kim,
like a flex.
Kim Ji is very, very wealthy.
And Danielle goes, I do know people who have more than they need. She's like, while I don't have any money, I know a lot of people
I don't have
more than
the money
need.
Myself. I know a fair share of people who have it. And Kim Ji is one of them. And Kim Ji's like, you know, she's like, honey, you know, most of my friends aren't from here. I'm not from this area. So basically she's saying like she grew up in like a less wealthy area than Franklin Lakes. So she's like, she gets it, and she's real.
She's real, and she doesn't go around bragging. She's very,
very respected
in the community.
So she's Kim's going to escort her to the cancer benefit, and the drama, if you're a little behind, the drama is that Kim Ji's son is best friends with Caroline's son, Christopher. So
yeah. But Kim Ji has pledged her allegiance
to
Danielle and has decried any sort of denounced Caroline Manzo as a human and a friend.
She's sending a message that she is not here for the Manzo family.
Yeah. Kim Ji, her and Danielle are talking about how they're going to get into the brownstone and navigate this like wild, treacherous fundraiser for a little tiny baby that has cancer. And Kim Ji goes, walk tall, put your head up high, screw them all. Great advice. If ever you're going into a fundraiser for child cancer, just remember Kim Ji's sage advice.
Screw them all.
Screw them all. Walk tall, put your head up high.
So then we cut to the Manzos, and Caroline's cooking for her kids, as always. And Kim Ji's son, Johnny, comes over for dinner. John G. I guess he goes to school in California, and he's home for some break, and he's been invited over for dinner at the Manzos.
And Caroline loves him, you know? When it comes to Kim Ji, she and Kim Ji are just mere acquaintances, but she does love John G.
Oh, the friendship's so beautiful, and it's all we got in common, but that's a good thing to have in common. She's also wearing, like, a police t-shirt, or it's either that or, like, a Knights of Columbus t-shirt, some kind of Italian New Jersey thing.
And she actually looks very beautiful in this moment, in this scene.
She does.
Stunning.
Also, Kim's son is like, did he like blow Adderall before this?
He's too hyped up.
Because he's also shaking. Do you
he's
see that?
He's shaking and like jumping around and like jittery. Maybe he's nervous.
Yeah, something is, he might be nervous because it's on TV, but he comes in going, like it's like some noise that they make together.
Yeah, they have their whole like male mating ritual with each other. And then like Albie and Chris try and play the ham game again, much to Caroline's chagrin. She's like, I'm not even laughing.
You know she
it's not
hates
funny.
The ham
it
game.
Makes no sense.
Christopher Thomas Manzo, you put that ham away. Then when they're sitting at the dinner, Caroline's like to Kim Ji's son, she's like, you know, your mother asked me to go to lunch, and I had to deny her.
I love telling him
that. I was like,
that.
Why are you telling him that? It's so triangle. It's such triangulation.
Yeah, and she's like, I have to prioritize your relationship with Christopher. It's a beautiful thing.
I hope your mother doesn't take offense. And he's like, no, Mrs. M. She doesn't take any offense at all. She totally gets it. I was like,
it's like, does she? Yeah, do you know what she's talking about? Like, I don't know how much he knows even about this show or where he is or what's going
either.
On.
His mom was probably very murky on the details of her involvement in the show.
Yeah. Also, I'll bet he doesn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like on Adderall. He doesn't
he's like,
care.
Whatever. Can I have more pasta or
whatever? But yeah, I thought that was strange that Caroline said that to him.
Yeah, it was very strange. It's like a TMI moment.
Yeah, it was like boundary, like kind of loss of boundaries, parents treating children like, I mean, they're adult. They're adults.
But also like, why would you say that? It's also his mom. So you're being like, your mom reached out to me to ask me to do something like a friend would do. And I said, no.
Yeah. Why would you tell someone that?
It's pointless.
If someone told me that, I'd be like, okay,
that was rude.
I, I love my mom.
I'm team my mom. So.
Okay. I'm going to say it.
What?
I think Caroline Manzo, as we come to see, I think she's low-key a huge manipulator. Mm-hmm. And I find her to be extremely manipulative.
She's kind of a Lisa Vanderpump.
She is. You'll see it more if you watch season three. It comes out more, but she's definitely like, she pretends like she doesn't want to get in the drama, but she's like, you're right. She is a little LVP.
She's LVP. And I really think it's like the common bond that I see just as like a kind of a newbie observer to Housewives of Housewives of New Jersey Renjay. Is like, if you own an event space, which Lisa basically owns a bunch of event spaces, you're basically owning restaurants and you love drama. And you like to stir the pot and you know exactly what it takes to do that. And you're a manipulator.
And you use your space that you own as like a thing to hold over people. Like they can either, they can or can't come to it. Like it's
a location.
It's sort of it's an epicenter of people being social. So like you kind of control.
Yeah.
Kind of this. I mean, the Brownstone is like the space of this area. So this family sort of has power over everyone's socializing in a way.
They do. And if you're just like on a reality show, you're just positioning for reality show stardom is like great if you own an event space, because then you can film there. So you automatically just have more power than like other cast members, because you actually hold
for sure
filmable things at your space.
Yeah.
So Caroline, we've got your number.
We've got you. Mm-hmm. Then Dina heads over to the Judices, and I like they cut to Gia and she's going,
1, 2, 3, 4.
And she's doing like choreography in the
practicing
room.
A dance. Melania is like tumbling around on the floor. Then at one point she's like holding scissors up to like a flat screen TV.
I know. Incredible.
And then also Teresa and Joe's driveway is 2 miles long.
It's so long.
It's so long.
Like you would probably so they can see if a car is coming.
Yeah, they have time to like hide the guns. And like flush cocaine down the toilet and stash some cash in like the ceiling panel.
I really think that's what
and
it
also
is.
They're it's a backed up to the woods, so it's a long time to see if the cops are coming, so Joe can run away and run into the woods.
Yeah, they definitely have like a safe, like a tunnel system or something. Yeah. It's a brief moment. Dina's basically just like, I'm fed up with Danielle. She's a
sociopath.
She's back on like Danielle's a sociopath, kind of like season one. She was trying to be forgiving of her, but she's coming down to the wire with Danielle.
Yeah, she's had just about enough.
Teresa calls Danielle a psycho bitch.
And then she like, is also like, what is she, a psycho or a sociopath? Like, doesn't really know. And she's like, Dina's like a sociopath. And she's like, what? Sociopath. Prostitution whore, psycho bitch, sociopath.
Prostitution whore. And then Albie and Lauren take Ashley and her boyfriend Derek to a restaurant in Hoboken.
Called Lua.
Which I Googled, it's had a 2-star rating and it's permanently closed. It looked gnarly. It looked like one of those restaurants at like the bottom of one of those new kind of newly built apartment buildings that have like retail places under it. That's what it looked like.
I didn't like anything about it.
Albie and Lauren are like super holier than thou with Ashley and Derek.
I'm like, nosy. Why do you care about an 18-year-old and a 23-year-old? You brought them here to like talk shit to them.
And he's like talking about Ashley as if she's not in the room.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, she doesn't know anything about herself. She doesn't know, have any idea what she wants to do in the life. And you hear Ashley go, but I do. And he's like, no, you don't. You don't know who you are.
I came away from this scene, I think I actually really like Ashley. I'll say it.
Strong words. I mean, she's 8. She's messy. Yeah. She's real.
Mm-hmm. She's keeping it real.
I liked when the waiter was like, are you fine with just water? And Ashley went, yeah.
You could tell she wanted to order a drink so bad, but then it would have taken, like, she would have had to take out, like, a fake ID, and then she's like, oh, that's kind of illegal, so I guess not, and I guess I am just, like, fine with water. This is annoying.
She's trying to, like, prove herself to her cousins. Mm-hmm.
They get all up in her and Derek's business, and he really doesn't speak at all, except for, like, one time where I forgot what he said because he's literally so boring. And then everyone's like, I hope you guys are together forever, and, like, cheers. And I'm like, you all are all idiots because they're fully going to break up eventually.
Lauren's like, have you thought about getting married? And I'm like, don't give her any ideas.
Yeah, like, why would you ask an 18-year-old that?
She's fucking 18. What is this, 1912?
Yeah, this is, like, insane. What? Like, are you worried about her dowry?
Have you thought about marriage? Yeah. Like, the clock is ticking, Ashley. You don't want to be an old maid like me at 21.
Yeah, it's very bad.
Unmarried.
Unmarried and ashamed woman. Dried up. Just premenopausal.
Basically a scarecrow stuffed with...
Hey.
Cotton crunchy, and hay.
Out in the field, watching crows land on me.
You don't want that, Ashley. So then we cut to Jacqueline goes to Derek's house to meet his mom, who is... This is probably my favorite moment of the whole episode. Mm-hmm.
His conservative mom, Jamie, with two E's, which I love the spelling of her name.
She's like a Kristen Wiig character.
She is. She's a wine mom.
Total wine mom.
And
she has like a Chardonnay slogan on the hearth. Mm-hmm. Like one of those, like, it's Chardonnay time somewhere.
She loves it. And Jacqueline brings over a bottle of red and they just crack it open and get shit faced.
They get blackout.
They get tanked. They drink like three bottles. And you're not
expecting it, really, because you think they're going to be like, it's going to be super awkward because the mom is a way more conservative than Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. But the mom, she cracks open that bottle and they sit on a couch. And at one point they're feeding each other grapes and giggling. And she also tells Jacqueline that Ashley sometimes cleans the whole house of their house. Yeah. And Jacqueline's like, the fuck?
She's like, how so?
I also like when Jamie, Derek's mom, went, well, it might not look like it, but I definitely partied with the best of them.
She goes, and I was not like, to brag.
I believe it.
She's had a history.
I think she was like fucking partying with like the Who.
Yeah. She's like sucked David Bowie's dick.
Yeah, she totally did. She was like with Prince one night.
What if she was one of Prince's like proteges back in the day? Like a Carmen Electra she just type.
She gave it all up.
Gave it all up to have a son. And now my son is dating Ashley.
But they just kept... It was just like a rolling montage of... It'd be like a wipe and you would just see another bottle being cracked open. Mm-hmm.
They loved it. They had a great time together.
They probably got cocaine together.
They did. Later in the night, once they were both like pretty drunk, but it was still really early. And Jacqueline's like, should we just get some coke? And Jamie's like, yeah, and I know a guy. Like, and Ted, like, has a guy on speed dial.
It's like, I was fucking waiting for you to say it.
I was hoping you'd say that. And they, like, are, like, blowing rails. And she's like, just so you know, Ashley's a really good girl. She has never done this kind of stuff here. Never once.
Ashley's a really good girl. And, you know, and I was thinking, like, I could see you as my sister. Mm-hmm. And Jacqueline's like, I was thinking the same thing. Let's be sisters. And she's like, okay, let's just be sisters together. And she's like, so let's like be like, hi, this is my sister Jacqueline. And I'll be like, hi, this is my sister Jamie. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay. And then they do like role play.
Yeah, like in Boogie Nights.
In Boogie Nights.
Totally.
Yeah. And then they like stay up till like 4 a.m. And Chris calls Jacqueline. He's like, where are you?
She's like, oh, I'm just out.
She's like, oh, I'm just out for 15 hours. Mm-hmm.
It's like, your son is hungry. Your baby wants you to come home.
You have to breastfeed. And she's like, oh, shit.
Fuck, 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 fuck.
Fuck, fuck. Jamie's like, it's okay. I know what to do. And she teaches her some trick.
Or she just has, like, old breast milk in the fridge that she gives to her. She's like, hey, I froze some of this, like, 28 years ago.
Just for an instance like this.
I'm a girl's girl. Here, take it. Take three.
Oh, my God. I'm a boy mom.
I'm a boy mom. You know what? I get it. You want to do what you got to do. here. And she gives her like a gallon of old breast milk, fresh.
Then they just like make out, but it's not sexual. It's just like,
it just would seem like the right totally thing like, to do.
And then Jacqueline drives home.
They had a great time together. Like, we gotta do this again sometime.
Gotta do this again.
Jacqueline texts her a selfie of her, like, feeding the baby a bottle.
And it says, thanks, bitch.
Thanks, bitch. You saved my ass.
And Jamie just writes hearts back.
But they are now forever bonded. I bet they're still friends, even forever. Though Derek and Ashley, like, yeah. end up breaking up. The two of them are friends for life.
They did ecstasy one night and got tattoos together. Yeah.
Chris still hasn't seen
it. Jacqueline's like, God, it feels so good.
It feels so good. Jacqueline was looking for someone to be bad with, and Jamie is the perfect person because she's like totally unsuspecting.
She thought it was Danielle, but it's actually Jamie. Yeah. She was hoping Danielle would fill that void, but turns out Jamie does.
Turns out Jamie is the bitch with the party.
She's the down bitch Jacqueline's been looking
this
for.
This whole time. Yeah.
This whole time.
And she's perfect for the husband because she comes across conservative, so Chris will never have a clue.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to go to a meeting with Jamie. And he's like, it's 7 p.m. And she's like, oh, it's at the Y. And he's like, all right. And then they get in the car, and then Jamie's like,
let's go.
Got your top? And Jacqueline's like, yeah. And then she takes her shirt off and puts on like
a bustier.
Like, a bustier, and then they go to like a rave.
Yeah, they go to the city
in Pennsylvania. Yeah. they go to a Bushwick warehouse party.
I love their lives and their friendship. Oh my God. Truly,
me too.
Celebrating.
It was actually really sweet.
I was happy because I thought it was going to be like tension, but then it was like, wow, this conservative mom Jamie really knows how to get down, and it's chill.
She does. She's iconic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then we go to Teresa's. Gia's having her birthday party at Sweet and Sassy.
Yeah, which
is a thing.
Is a thing.
In New, they had one 3 miles away from my town.
Yeah, they opened them in Chicago, and I had a friend in college that was like working for Sweet and Sassy for a while.
Oh my God.
And it was like this whole, I think she was like on their marketing or like the business team or something. But I remember knowing about Sweet and Sassy before it was on Housewives of New Jersey, and I was happy to see it. No one needs a face mask more than like a 9 year old.
A 9 year old little girl,
what
yeah.
Even are the face masks that they put on them? They cannot be actually real, right?
I don't know, but I always passed one by to get to Wegmans, mm-hmm. and it was in this parking lot, and I always drove by the pink limo that was just waiting outside. It always felt vaguely like some kind of front.
Yeah, but I'll bet that they make bank. Like,
oh, for sure.
I would love to have such a good idea. Sassy birthday party.
Me too.
It would have been the most fun. You get picked up in a limo with all your friends and taken for like a spa day.
It's a true place of woo. Yeah, it's a woo
it's
day.
It's a total woo day. And Gia is living her woo truth. She has bangs.
She has bangs on, a party, like poofy party dress. Mm-hmm.
She goes, when she's waiting for, like, her mom's getting her ready. And then, like, she's waiting for her friends to come over. And she goes, please, I'm on my knees. I'm on my knees, mama. What is my gift? I just.
What is my gift, mama? And Teresa's like, you're gonna find out soon. And she's like, oh, please, I pray to the Virgin Mary for you to tell
please,
me.
Please, I'm tell on me, my knees, mama. Mama mia.
Oh, I'll pray to every saint you tell me, mama. Just, I'll get down on my knees and pray every day. And she's like, no. And then all the girls come in, and they just, Gia just goes, thanks, thank you for coming, thanks. And they're just chucking, like, huge gift bags at her. And she's just collecting all of them at
and
once.
And then Teresa puts like a feathered, like long jacket on her. She looks like Miranda in Sex and the City. Like, I swear to God, Miranda's worn that jacket before.
I think you're right. And then they go outside and the limo pulls up.
Well,
but before it does,
her birthday present arrives.
Oh my God.
It's a four wheeler.
It's like an ATV.
Yeah. Like, love Joe giving her like a, not to be like a gender stereotype, but like a little boy's like birthday present.
For sure.
Like, my daughter's gonna be tough.
she's going to be a tough girl. And she takes it for a little drive down the driveway with Gabriella on the back, who's crying.
He's crying. He's just weeping.
Gabriella's always crying.
She's, when the baby came home, she came out of the house and she had just been crying.
I loved when all the girls are watching her and all her friends are watching in silence. And she has like, I think it's like her best friend because we see them together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just wearing, like very chic sunglasses and she has her arms crossed. And she's just watching her. And I was like, oh my God, that girl is amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like she should be really smoking good. A cig right now.
Oh, but they all smoke together now.
Oh, for sure.
Because they're all like, what, 16 years old? 17?
No, Gia's in college.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
She goes to Rutgers.
This is insane.
I know.
You never think that they're going to grow up and like, she's a woman.
Her best friend's watching her and like takes this drag of her cig and she looks up and she's like, good gift, Mrs. G.
It was so good. Teresa says she only raises divas, not tomboys.
I know. I was like, okay.
Great. Cool expectation.
I love Gia goes to unlock the limo door and the driver like, it takes him a minute to unlock it, and her face, when he can't unlock it immediately,
has no time for that. She bangs on the window.
And then they just get into the car. Yeah. They just get in the car and scream.
They woo it up.
They woo. There's a shot of Gabriella crying in the car.
Gabriella hates these types of gatherings.
Yeah,
she has
they're
so
just flooring
much
it down.
Witchcraft to do. Like this takes away from her number one hobby, which is harvesting the blood of the youth.
But they're just flooring it down the freeway in this sweet and sassy limo, just screaming.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like hell.
I was like living and then vicariously they get to it and all through the... them.
I know it looked. It did look amazing when they pull up and all the employees are like, "Welcome to sweet and sassy."
All the employees all, like the, applaud for them as they walk in, and there's even more employees, and there's so many employees there just all applauding and like encouraging them. I was like, what an encouraging environment.
I know. And then you just see Gia going, thank you. And when they pull up and they're all screaming, it reminded me of that sorority video where they're all on the front steps screaming.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like a nonstop scream.
Yeah. And then they go in and they get little chocolate masks. They get their hair done.
Yeah, it looks
really
cute.
And then they have a dance party and all the employees are dancing with them. It's just
that would be a fun place to work. Like I would get a job.
Oh my god, for sure. It's a good backup plan.
It's a great backup plan. You just hang out with like little girls that want to get glam all day and encourage them to get glam and like paint their nails and, just, and then dance with them
and just be like girl, you look great,
you look amazing, what color do you
let's
want
dance.
You just like talk about whatever. That is actually a dream job for me.
Let's dance to Lou Bega.
Yeah,
and you're like, yeah,
Mambo number five. You're like, yeah,
coming right up. And then it comes to the real epicenter of the episode.
Wow. Kim G shows, it's okay, so it's the night of the fundraiser for baby Manuela. Mm-hmm. Is it Manuela?
Mm-hmm.
And Kim G arrives at Danielle's house in a Bentley, driven by her driver, Harry.
Harry. Thanks, Harry.
Thank you, Harry, she says every time she gets out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
She loves, I also like, how did I miss that she's like, has a driver?
Yeah, she's a Bentley and a driver. She's like soup uber wealthy.
Yeah. She's like a rich person.
Cause you can see Kim G's like, she's probably like pretty respectable in the community. Like everyone just knows her as like this rich woman. She probably has like people who kiss her ass. And you can see that she's kind of risking it being involved with Danielle. And there's a part of her that's like, I'm not sure about this, but it's exciting to me cause I'm a little bored. This whole TV thing, you can tell that she's this whole time it's like she's been acting. It's like it's almost like an experiment for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the moment when she realizes no, this shit is real.
And she's all she's... in. This is when she's like, you see her excitement at all of it, and she's like fully on board.
Because then Danny comes in.
Danny comes in. He sees a chihuahua. He like firstly like walked there or something. Like he just like walked up the like walks up the driveway.
Yeah.
He's wearing jeans and a t-shirt and sees a chihuahua inside Danielle's house and growls at it.
I know.
He's like, "Ugh."
And then Danielle goes, "Sit down. Let's talk it out." And then Kim G goes, "So you're aware of what's happening?" And Danny's like, "Oh yeah.
I'm aware of it. I'm aware of it all." He's like, "We'll have no issues tonight."
He's like, "Especially because I can't drink, but in 6 days I can." And then Kim G goes, "Oh, why?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm off parole then." And then you see Kim's face just drop.
Kim is also more turned on than she's ever been in her entire life. She's gripping the sides of her chair and kind of slides down. And I was like, wait, she totally wants to fuck Danny.
Oh, for sure. She's like, it's like she is... never been more horny in her whole adult life this than is right
the,
now.
It is truly, that's the light bulb moment for me when I was like, Kim G's in it till the bitter end with this whole crazy train. Like,
she's like, ride or die.
This is the excitement she needed in her wealthy, boring life.
It's everything. And I love when Danielle goes, "I think people are less likely to attack you within the presence of a man." I was like, fuck are you talking about?
Danielle's out of her mind.
I do think people are less likely to attack you within the presence of a man. So Danny will be very useful.
It's also like, you don't, if this is a baby's fun, a fundraiser for a baby that has cancer. Like, you don't need protection here. Like, there's nothing bad that's gonna go down, and Danny's like lit up.
We got some friends coming in, there's gonna be no issue. So we already know that he has like a whole other entourage coming to back Danielle up.
We thought that it was just gonna be Danny, but little did we know Danny has called in his entire Rolodex of thugs and gangsters.
Well, before that though we cut to Caroline has Jacqueline and Teresa over. And this is just a very important moment. It's very small. But Caroline reveals to us that she shaves her face every day.
They're talking about like self-care and like preservation. And Jacqueline's like, "Botox, would you ever do that?" And then Caroline goes, no. You know what I do every day? I shave my entire face.
And the look on Teresa's face, she goes, "No, you don't. No." She goes, "First time?" She goes, "Albert saw me and he comes in the bathroom and goes, what are you doing?" And I said, "Think about it. You shave your face every day. You're exfoliating every day." And Teresa and Jacqueline are...
they're horrified.
Bored.
They cannot.
They're fucking horrified.
Caroline goes, "You get a little lotion, you put it on your face, you shave. I shave every day."
And Teresa goes, "No, he saw you like that." And she's like, "Oh, yeah. He came in and he said, what are you doing?" I was like, oh, my God.
That's kind of when I became ride or die for Caroline, because I'll never forget the first time I ever saw her admit that she shaves her entire face. Later on in the season, you see her in the shower shaving her face. At some point in New Jersey, over Caroline's tenure of being on the show, there is a shot of her shaving her face in the shower.
I mean, the vulnerability it takes to say that, like, heroic.
She's a strong, confident woman.
She said it without a hint of insecurity, which I thought was amazing.
You know what I do every day? I shave my face.
Swear to God, swear on my hand, the hand of God. I shave my face every day. And Albert came in and he said, "What are you doing?"
It's incredible. We cut back to the cancer fundraiser.
So
that's the cryon under it, shows the brownstone, and it just says cancer fundraiser. Like, you think they could find a better way to like set the scene?
Danielle pulls up in Kim G's Bentley with Danny, and on the way there, they're like, Danielle's like, "Oh, it's such a horrible thing what's happening with his family. It's like, okay, cool. Danielle, like, you really give a shit.
Also, the middle light is on Danny's face. Like, he's really the only one that's lit up. He has a 1,000-yard stare. His pupils mm-hmm. are, like, tiny. I feel like he's on meth. And, like, yeah. he is, like, lit the fuck up.
Yeah. And he's just shaking his head going, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Horrible.
Horrible. Horrible.
Also, I need to say, I didn't realize, like, that I forgot about this whole, like, fundraiser thing and that this baby is actually, like, stricken with cancer. And so I need to just say sorry to the family for what I said last episode where I was like, you think this is just a fake? No, it's, I get it now. It's not fake.
No, I mean, yeah, look.
You never know.
On reality when it comes TV, to Jersey,
you just
scamming.
Never know.
When it comes to this cancer scamming, reality TV is
front and center.
Pioneer.
Yeah.
No, but I think it really is like a benefit for it. But they pull up, Christopher is waiting to valet, and they pull up in the benefit, and he sees that it's Kim G because he knows her car, and he turns away. Then he, because Caroline's told him to not go near Danielle.
Yeah. They made a pact that it was like, he's not going to stir up any drama.
Danielle, Caroline was like, I said I made him swear on his life. And then Danielle and Danny step out with Kim G, and the fucking Hell's Angels are there.
There's like
the
some
literal
guy
Hell's Angels.
Silently chewing gum in like a tan blazer who looks terrifying. Then there's like a Hell's Angel. Hot. Yeah, a Hell's Angel member. And then Danielle goes, it's really powerful to have the head of the head at Hell's Angels with you.
And then Caroline goes, I heard the Hell's Angels were coming through with her to the brownstone. And then Caroline looks and she goes, I mean, where does it end? Where does it end? And then such a funny line.
Only Danielle Staub would get together a group of gangsters to descend upon a fundraiser for a poor, innocent baby and also get a Hell's Angel in the mix.
Kim G is just looking up with her little shawl on, just so happy.
She's titillated. She's never had more excitement in her entire life.
She is the Shirley Temple of the Hell's Angels. Yes. She's just like looking up, just so excited. She's like has like a Cheshire Cat grin on her face. And Danielle walks up to Chris and she's like, I just wanted to thank you for allowing me in your second home. And Christopher's like, okay, go on in. And he goes, and then Danielle goes, here I am, walking in with my entourage into his second home. It's a powerful statement.
It's like, okay, Danielle, what are you talking
Danielle,
about?
What the
this is literally and a then, fundraiser for a child with cancer. So,
and then Kim G goes up to Christopher and she's like, hi, honey. How's my son's best friend?
He's like, hi,
Mrs. G.
What's her last name?
Granatel.
He's like, hi, Mrs. Granatel. He's like,
and then
a
he
good
goes, you guys are in for a big surprise. And he meant to say, because they're like super overdressed.
Because it's like it's founded by like the hunting club. So it's just like all guys in like camo. And like the big prize of the night at the silent auction is like a shotgun, like a camouflage shotgun.
It's like a good old fashioned New Jersey beef and beer benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going in like it's the fucking like
Oscars.
Golden Globe.
They literally are like ready for a red carpet.
And then Kim G takes big surprise. And Kim G actually plants the seed for all of this. She goes up to Danielle and goes, do you know what Chris just said to me? He said you were in for a big surprise. And then Danielle goes, what does that mean? And then we got to Danielle's interview and she goes, and he was so sadistic when he said it.
She wasn't You're even in for, there.
And I go, Danielle, you weren't even there. The fuck are you talking about?
She's furious. And then she meets the family of this, like, that's suffering this, like, horrible tragedy. And
they look exhausted.
They look exhausted. Like, they do not have, like, a smile in their souls.
Like it's probably haven't showered in a week. They came probably straight from the hospital for, like, 2 hours.
Yeah, like, they're truly, like, living a harrowing truth. And then imagine going through all that and then having to come face to face with Danielle at the fundraiser, who's literally, she meets them and the first thing she says, she goes, I brought a lot of people with me.
And they're like, okay, great. And she goes, no one's going anywhere. She says that to them. And then she goes, I'm not going anywhere. And I've made sure there's people here with me that will see to it that that doesn't happen. And I was like, Danielle, what?
Danielle, get
a child clue. Is dying.
The literal reason that they're here is that their child is deathly ill and they need to raise money to try and save a baby's life. Their baby.
I'm not going anywhere.
I'm not going anywhere.
I've ensured that by bringing a large group of people. And they're like, oh.
Also, like, showing up late, too, because it's like everyone's already seated. So Danielle showed up with 10 people. Hell's Angels.
I think, like, more than 10 people.
Men that have no business being at this event are not going to pay money and haven't, and in fact, have not paid money to be there.
Because neither is she.
And so she has not paid. None of her guests have paid.
Kim G has paid. I think Kim G paid for everyone.
Yeah, Kim G pays at the end, writes like a fat check to the family at the end.
So they walk into the, and everyone's staring at them because it's totally packed. Everyone's already seated. They're eating their dinner. And Kim and Danielle are in the center of everything. And their little table for their diner crew, the Preakness posse.
The Preakness diner table. Posse. Someone goes, a woman leans over and she goes, you're at the Preakness table. Which was like.
And then Danielle is like, well, there aren't enough chairs here for all my friends. And she's like, ha. I bet this was the big surprise Christopher was talking about. I was like, no, Danielle, you just didn't pay for 20 people.
No.
And now you said they didn't know 20 people were coming. They gave the allotted number of seats for the people that you said were going to be there, which was 3.
Yeah. And then Danny comes downstairs and comes over to Danielle and he lets her know that he just walked into an office and threatened people.
Yeah, to get more seats out.
I just walked into the office and I said, you better put some fucking tables together or else. And I was like, this is, again, a baby's fundraiser for cancer. And you have methed out Danny stalking off to go threaten people's lives to put a table out there. Like, get a grip.
And you know that it's kind of scary because Albert Manzo comes down and is like, just seat him. Cause so like he clearly knows that Danny is like not to be fucked with.
Yeah.
Cause Danny is like a literal criminal.
He's a criminal. So at one point it cuts to Ashley and she's like, yeah, we've heard a lot of stories about Danny. Like he hit someone's hand with a hammer.
Yeah. She's like, I heard he went to jail. I heard he had someone's hand down with, and then hit it with a hammer and broke it. He's crazy.
Yeah, he's fucking then, crazy. And then so also
the Manzo and co of the Brownstone people are scrambling to like add an extra table in the middle of this already like sardine packed room. And Danielle is just standing in the middle of everything going, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then in the background of all of it, you see a slideshow.
You see a slideshow of the
baby.
There's
a picture of the baby. And Danielle and Kim G are giggling about the chaos that they're causing.
Literally, Danielle, she goes up to every table and she's like, can you believe it? There's no table for me and my friends. There's no table. I guess I'll just have to leave. I guess I'll have to leave with dignity. Behind her is like an ongoing slideshow of the baby with cancer that the benefit is for.
I came here to present a check. And I deserve the respect that I'm supposed to be getting. And that means honoring the friends that I've come with. And then at one point when you see one of her friends, this random woman go, it's so disgusting. She goes, it's disgusting. It's disgusting, Danielle. I was like, shut up, yeah, Rosa.
Fuck off, Rosa.
Yeah, Danielle's just anyone that will like give her eye contact. She's going, it's unbelievable. She's like shouting across the room at someone who can't even hear her.
Yeah, no, if you and even like, acknowledge like, her, she is will go in on an her tell you her life story about this benefit. And then she approaches a table of strangers and she's like, well, it looks like I have no choice but to leave with dignity. They're like, lady, we're trying to watch the slideshow that's informing us about like the cancer that this baby has. Like, can you not right now?
There's a shot where a woman, her jaw is literally dropped. Because Danielle is she's has two hands on the table, leaned over almost fully, and she's like, "Well, I guess that means I have to leave now."
I think
they might.
I don't think they
might
know
be like
her.
The chair, but they look like they're like, "What?" So finally, Albert Manzo tells them all they have to leave because the family has come to them, and the family of the baby is like, "I think you should have them leave." So Albert Manzo kicks them out.
God. And also Kim G, I think she pays off the family at the end because she's like, wow, this was actually really inappropriate, but also really fun. But also like, here's like $15,000.
Yeah. She just is like, you have a beautiful baby. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. She's like nervously writing this check.
She gives him $30,000. And then she's like, okay, well, my conscience is clear. Harry, get the Bentley.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can tell Kim G is like not fully on Danielle's level of like baddie.
She's
like bad to the bone.
Like a psycho tourist. She's like a tourist in this like psychotic world. Like she wants to like dip her toe in the water, but then also she knows that at any time she can pay her way out of it and get like whisked away.
She's like a delusional tourist.
I love it. Her delusional tourism is exactly what she's doing.
She's on like the fucking the ball at Epcot, the giant like circle thing in Disney World. That's mm-hmm. where she is, where it's like giving you a tour of like what the future would look like in the 50s.
Totally.
Kim G's on that right now.
Kim G is
and so,
fully in it.
She's on an Epcot ride. And Danielle, then they start like saunter. It takes them like an hour to actually get to the brownstone doors. The whole crew is coming.
20 people they have to like gather who are all individually, I'm sure, threatening various brownstone employees. Like they're like, I'll break your fucking arms if you don't put a table together now. And like
well, also Danny calls Chris a faggot.
He did?
Yes.
What? I missed that.
He calls it, well, I remember this. You find out later in the but he calls Christopher a faggot. and in front of Danielle and Kim G, and Danielle last season called out Joe Giudice for homophobia. And she's like, I have many gay friends. I am a fierce advocate of the gay community. And then here he is. It doesn't even bother. Like Kim G looks a little like,
she got uncomfortable in that moment.
Yeah. And Danielle, not a flicker. No. Just doesn't skip a beat. So at one point, Danny's
like, oh, Danny, you want a surprise? I'll give you a surprise. Like he's ready to.
A punk's is a punk.
And the Manzos is punks.
Well, at one point he quietly asked Danielle permission to go fuck shit up. And you hear Danielle go, well, as long as the family I'm here for doesn't get hurt, I'm fine with it.
Like she's basically like
kill them all.
Go kill someone, but just don't kill the family whose baby has cancer. They've been
through
enough.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. As long as the family I'm here for doesn't get hurt. I'm like, what?
Danielle, do you know where you are right now?
And also the people in there are all in a hunting club. So if Danny, like shit could really go down.
Like they have guns sitting out on a table and a crossbow. Like, if you wanted to throw a bunch, like, they could literally put an arrow through your heart.
But, Dan, you know that they're all loaded, too.
Yeah, everyone's packing. Loaded. Everyone's packing. Intentions are high.
Danielle has a gun, probably.
Oh, she fully has a gun in her vagina.
Oh, speaking of, remember when I told you that when we had those big earthquakes and everyone was worried the big one was coming and Simon wanted to get a crossbow?
Simon wanted to get a crossbow. I literally thought to myself, I'm like, do I need to get a gun, like, to protect myself when everything goes down? Like, shit gets real and you want to get armed.
Either with gun or crossbow.
Whatever it takes for you to feel safe.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
So it's like, they get kicked out, but Danielle, like, on national television, basically okayed, if it comes to it, for him to kill everyone in there.
For him to spill blood at this baby benefit. And then Danielle thinks that it's someone else's fault. Like, she's, like, outside of the benefit. She's like, how could you do this? How could you do this to a little baby? Like, as though everyone else caused, like, a crazy amount of drama.
These people.
These
they're people. Sadistic.
I'm like, you, and then him just like casually calling someone's son a faggot.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that. Great people. Well, great job, Danny.
That's like the mafia for you. They hate gay people.
I know.
Which is really one of the worst things about them. Kim G goes, oh boy, here we go. Oh boy.
Here we go.
Here we go. Kim G is like on a roller coaster. Yeah. It's like right when the roller coaster is cresting, ready to go down. Kim G's like, woo.
I feel like Danielle and Kim were like blowing lines of coke before they went.
Yeah, something wasn't right. For you to even get in a mindset of like they like the way they were like pre-gaming this event and like planning if anything was gonna like go down. Yeah. I thought they like had Danny bring them over some blow and then they like quickly. Because
Danny
did
can't
it.
Do it yet.
He can't do it yet, but 6 days. He goes, 6 days, I won't even have to ask for permission.
Yeah. Oh my god. They totally were. Cause they were just you're not that unless you're like truly out of your mind, like you, which Danielle probably
she
is.
Maybe.
But
you don't have like the instinct
to be that confrontational
and like that hot blooded and paranoid about the whole thing. It's very strange.
It was very the whole vibe was super cokey to me.
It was. Yeah, it was very cokey. And then all the guys, like that one guy chewing gum, just standing around like with his hands in front of him, holding his hands in front of him. It's like he's ready to literally shoot someone. The literal Hell's Angel.
My God, the Hell's Angel probably has like one of those like swinging like chain ball things, like ready to go to just lob someone's head off.
Honestly, this could have ended up as like the scene in Kill Bill where
I know
it was like about to be at that level of bloodshed.
I know Melania probably was like, I was just listening to the police wire. Sounds like some shit going down at the Brownstone.
She
I'm going to have to go
to
now,
Joe.
Mom and Dad.
Yeah, she's like, I got to get out of here. She goes, Gia, give me your four-wheeler, you little bitch. I knew you weren't going to use it. You're punk.
Yeah, you're useless, punk.
She goes, Gabriella, get on. And Gabriella's like, okay. Yeah. And then hops on the back and she's like, vroom, vroom. And then she's like off to the Brownstone.
They're riding down the freeway to Patterson in the freezing cold November night. And they pull up to the Brownstone and Melania's like, hey, what's going on here? Did I miss the show? And they're like, yeah, you just missed it. Danielle and Danny just left. And she's like, ah.
God damn it.
God, I brought everything.
She opens her jacket and it's like all knives and like ammo and guns.
And like a slingshot.
Yeah. So I was ready to throw down. Hey, yeah, Danny! She and Danny know each other from like back in the day.
No, it's all like fake, like sword, like plastic swords, and then just a full Glock.
Yeah.
Like a full, like loaded Glock. And she's like,
I heard that rat Danny was here. She's like, I got a bone to pick with him since he went in.
Yeah. Danny's like shaking in his boots when he sees Melania's there.
He's like, Harry, pull away.
Get out of here, Harry. Get up. Hit the gas.
Get
out. Where's that punk Danny? I got a bone to pick with him. Melania just fires a warning shot into the air. I love Melania is going to kill Danny someday.
Gabrielle just wanders inside of the Brownstone and just like.
She sits down at a table and like orders dinner and silently eats it.
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken parm. Oh my god.
God. And then Dina, it has like a shot of Dina and she's saying this is the final straw. She's now done. Was she even at
cool,
she
Dina.
Wasn't was she even there?
No. She didn't even get in.
Yeah, Dina's like storyline of being done with Danielle. It's like you haven't even seen her this year. Yeah. But cool anyways.
Oh well, God, it's gearing up. Even more craziness is coming our way, so everyone stay tuned.
Stay the fuck tuned. Also,
I'm so grateful
for, what a beautiful Thanksgiving.
So grateful for the ladies of Roe and Jay.
I actually like love, like genuinely have love in my heart for all of the women on this show.
Me too.
Like
even Danielle,
they all warm my heart. It's not like
they do.
It's not like another. It's not like a different show where you kind of like hate watch some people. I genuinely like care about deeply about each of them.
Also, it's such like a wimp, like the women are in control, run the shit in this. It's like a very matriarchal.
Yeah, I like it. It's a lot like, of powerful franchise. Women.
Yeah, including even Melania, and like it's very like it's very Suspiria in that way.
So Suspiria, Gabriella is 100,000% Suspiria.
She is.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, and everyone have a glorious Thanksgiving today.
Yeah, and if you want an amazing bonus episode, head on over to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast, and for $5 a month you can get weekly bonus episodes and tons more content, but this week's bonus ep is really something.
It's not that much
for a lot of content. Well, for you, and with that, I bid you all
love and light.
Farewell, love and light. Bye. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp, or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.